the top of the Time Life building, smack dab in the middle of New York City. This is the Taz Show.
Yeah.
Talking wrestling, sports, and beyond.
It's the Black Tower Maniac coming out of Brooklyn. A one-man crime spree, he gonna leave you shook. Try to beat him if you can and survive if he lets you. Human suplex, and he coming for you too. Better watch out, the guy your mother warned you about. And he's got one question I'll inform you about. Like,
you're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
Award-winning host and former world heavyweight champion, Taz.
All right. Little Toddy. But have no fear, your human suplex machine is here. Apologize that we had some technical issues. As you know, we're on the cusp of a hurricane here in the Northeast, so for those that don't know. So the weather has been really kind of crappy yesterday morning, and this morning's been rough, very windy, very rainy, and I think we had some streaming issues. So, no excuse, but we had some problems, and that's the deal. You know, this is not terrestrial radio, so it's sometimes, you know, these things do happen. But so I apologize for having these technical issues. We just had a problem getting the show up, and scrambled left and right here. But thank God to all the guys behind the scenes here at Radio.com and Play It and CBS Radio that they got it done. By golly, they got it done. So it's Friday. You got to be happy when it's Friday. It's all about the Friday. Everybody's dialed in on Friday. By the way, the phone number, if you want to call in. I know the phones, I went by the room where the phones were ringing off the hook right before we were live. So feel free to call back, 866-475-2948. 866-I-PLAY-IT. Okay, so like I said, it's Friday. I'm really excited about this episode here because not just one great voice, Hall of Fame voice from the great industry of pro wrestling and sports entertainment, meaning good old JR in his weekly segment here on the Taz Show, Barbecue Pigskin, where we kind of cover JR's a quasi-expert on college football, and the NFL, anything football. So it's going to be great to have that segment every week with my man Jim Ross, Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. So JR will be on the show a little later on. We're going to go over some football stuff with Boomer Sooner himself, Jim Ross, and also the other great voice I was alluding to that will be a guest on this particular show is none other than basically the voice of combat sports. No, this guy is just the man, Mario Ranallo. I mean, great guy on Access TV, New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's the voice of that. Showtime Boxing, I think kickboxing, MMA, everything. I mean, this guy does a little bit of everything. He's a super guy. I've done some stuff on the air with Mario, not TV stuff, just audio stuff, a while back. So I gotta say, it's really great that we're gonna have Mario on. I know when I talked to him yesterday, I texted him. I shouldn't say I talked with him. He was on his way to Cincinnati, so we'll talk about what's going on in Cincinnati. I'm sure he had a fight to cover or something. So he's a very, very busy guy. And got to kind of touch on later on in the show. Going to go over, talk a little bit about tomorrow night, the big, big show at Madison Square Garden for the WWE that'll be on the WWE Network. I'm going to give some predictions, do a little preview on that. So that should be a lot of fun, and maybe get your input on that if you want to call in. Again, the phone number is 866-475-2948, 866-I-PLAY-IT. The other thing, too, is football. Got to talk a little football last night. Huh. Wow. Talked about it a little bit on yesterday's show, but the Steelers played the Ravens. And, you know, it's deal is Michael Vick's in the catbird seat as the quarterback. As you know, Roethlisberger's out. We're wondering what's going to go on, yada, yada. Well, I thought Vick played pretty good. But his team lost. So the Ravens were 0-3 going in. They finally got their victory, the Ravens, in overtime, field goal-esque. And I got to say, man, I really think the Steelers kind of blew this thing here. You got to get the ball in the hands of the playmakers. You got to get the ball in the hands of the playmakers. And you got a guy like Le'Veon Bell. You got a guy like Antonio Brown. Especially Le'Veon Bell in the fourth quarter. You can't not get this guy the ball. He's got to get the ball. And they didn't do that. They relied on Vic too much, I thought. Overtime, fourth quarter, whole deal. I was halfway falling asleep watching this thing, by the way, because getting up so early to get to the studio here in Manhattan. But I got to say, I think the offensive coordinator, Todd Healy, I think his name is Mealy Mouse, he kind of blew it there. But, it falls on Tomlin. He's the head coach. But I think that's a mistake. I think you got to get the ball in Bell's hands. Get the ball more to your receivers. Yeah, you got to get the ball moving more. I just don't think that was a good move offensively what they did. And Scobie, the field goal guy, the kicker, he misses in the game at not one but two field goals under 50 yards. I got to say, dude, I see high school kids that are kicking field goals that are 50 yards and better. I know a kid in my town who's a senior in high school who's kicking 52, 53 yards field goals. The college kids are kicking them left and right. Dude, Scobie, this guy's been around. He played for the Jaguars years ago. I can't remember where. He was like a kind of a journeyman kicker-esque. And how you miss it? Not one but two under 50. I mean, and it's the most pressure-filled position, that field goal spot. I mean, field goal kicking spot, there's no doubt. But you know that going into the game. You know that the gun's to your head or the gun is to your foot. So you know that going in. But, you got to make that happen, dude. You got to. It's not his fault either. I don't believe in blaming field goal kickers when they miss kicks to get victories for their teams. I don't believe in that. You know, I've always played sports, coached sports. My son, avid athlete, always at a high level now as a lacrosse player. I got to tell you, I've always believed, his coach has always taught him, he knows, I know. It never comes down, a game, I don't care what sport it is, in my strong opinion on this topic here, it never comes down to one play. The game should never, I should say, come down to one play. There's a lot of people to blame when you lose a game. That's why you just can't pick on one guy. Sure, we could go in here and put the heat on Scobie, the kicker. Sure, we could do that. Sure, we could put the heat on the offense. I would rather put the heat actually on the offensive coordinator and the head coach as opposed to the kicker, because they're the ones controlling the game, the coaching staff. So, but the game should never be decided by one play. That's my point. You shouldn't blame people. But what are we going to do? We're all armchair quarterbacks at the end of the day. We're not on the field playing. I mean, I thought it was a good game. I mean, I'm an AFC fan, so I liked the game. But, it was, what are you going to do? I mean, I thought the Steelers were going to win the game, but it didn't happen. We got a call on the line here. My man Jeremy from Vegas. Jeremy, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good, Taz.
How are you?
I'm good myself, man. So I want to talk really quick about my man Kevin Cross.
Yes.
I got a chance to watch him here in Las Vegas for a Global Force wrestling event. And if you get a chance to see this man, hopefully they get some U.S. television. I believe they will. You'll be quite impressed with the way this man works. His first match here in Vegas, got to face nothing Bobby Roode.
Well, hold on. Hey, champ, you're in Vegas right now, right? What time is it over there? Like 5:30 in the morning? What time is it?
Yeah, it's 4 in the morning, and
Hold on. Let's pump the brakes now. So you must be a really good friend of Kevin, because did he put you up to this or what? I mean, why are you calling us this early to put this guy over?
I think I find this man a very important part of a young talent in the business,
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, I gave Kevin called in yesterday, gave him a lot of time on the air. I like the kid's sound. I like his promo. I like his look. I mean, we'll see what happens. I think he's got a great upside, as I said yesterday. I mean, for those that don't know, we'll talk about real quick. We do Hump Day promos every Wednesday where fans send promos in. The guy who won this week is a guy, Kevin Cross, who actually is a wrestler, unbeknownst to me. So it's kind of like, So going forward, no more independent wrestlers sending promos in. If you send them, we're not going to air them. But I think he's very good, okay, Jeremy? So I do. I think who knows what's going to happen. It's a very tough business to make it in. No matter if you're big, small, whatever, it's tough,
Yeah, I understand. I definitely see he has a Double J support there. Getting a chance to wrestle one of the best probably in the last, 15 years in Bobby Roode.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about that.
Yeah, I was incredibly impressed. I've seen him do a couple local shows out here, too.
Let me ask you a question. So, Jeremy, so you're saying that Kevin, when he wrestled Roode, right, it was a great match. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, it was a great match.
Let me finish. I'm not surprised because Rude's a close friend of mine. He was just on my show, I think, this week. I'm losing track what day it is, but he was on the show. Actually, he was on the day on Wednesday when Hump Day Promos was. So he was on the same day that Kevin Cross was on with his promo. Now, here's the thing. To me, now pay attention here, Jeremy, and you can tell Kevin or whoever. The mark of a good young wrestler is if he can have a really good match with another young wrestler, meaning a guy like Bobby Roode, dude. I mean, this microphone I'm talking in, this mic can have a good match with Roode. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. He had a chance to wrestle Joey Ryan as well.
Another tremendous talent, dude. He's another Joey is a guy who I'm going to have on the show soon. Joey's a great worker and a guy who's underrated and I believe belongs in one of the in the WWE. I think Joey would be great in the WWE. He's more than game ready. I can tell you that much. So, you know, and I appreciate the call, Jeremy, for sure. And you know, I think that's nice that you're a good friend of Kevin that you got up this early to call me and put him over more. I mean, this is not, you know, I don't understand. It's just crazy. Again, the phone number is 866-475-2948. 866-I-PLAY-IT. So, anyway, like I was saying, I gave you my thoughts and opinions right there on the Ravens and the Steelers. I also, before we really get rocking and rolling in the show and you know, this show starts to kind of take on a life of its own, I want to bring up a serious note. I want to give all of my thoughts and prayers to the families and victims of the Oregon shootings yesterday. Horrible situation. I mean, something needs to be done here. I don't want to get too political and give too much opinions. I just want to say thoughts and prayers to all those people. I feel so bad, as most of us do in the country and the world, for what happened there yesterday on campus. So I believe it was at a community college. Don't want to bring nobody down here this early in the morning, but I just wanted to, you know, kind of put that out there and just pay my respects. Also, another little house cleaning, just some other house cleaning business, as we talked about. We had got on the air a little late here because we had some issues, but Seth is not here today and will not be here probably for a couple of weeks. He's got stuff going on at home. Obviously, it's a serious situation in a positive way that he's going to be a new dad again, so his girl's about to give birth. We don't know if she did it yet or not. We'll find out. Once that happens, we'll let you know. Early congrats to him and his family. So he's got to take care of home base. That's more important than being here with the Taz Show, even though the Taz Show is pretty important, let's be honest. So, you know, that's a big deal. I got my man Brian sitting there. Brian, how you doing? You having fun this morning already?
I'm having great time here this morning, Taz. I'm glad we got all that stuff figured out before.
Your mic's on, right? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, we're on. I'm on.
Your level's a little low. It's probably my headphones.
Minutes.
Maybe not be you. Yeah, so yeah, we were scrambled a little bit this morning, right? It's a good way to get you broke in here.
Yeah, first day doing it by myself? Yeah, sure. Things break.
I got to say, you were actually very cool under pressure.
That's where you got to be.
And I'm sandwiched by Brian. I have another Brian here who's doing the calls, the screening, and you and him were great. You guys woke a lot of technicians up on the phone.
No, we woke one technician up on the phone. Two of them have their phones turned off.
Oh, that's nice.
It's very nice. I'm going to talk to them later.
That's awesome.
But Markel, thank you. If
you're yes, Markel. Thank you. Markel's the man. Yes, I know Markel very well, and yes, he is the man. So thank you, Markel. I do appreciate that. But anyway, no, I want to thank you on the air here, Brian. You got this thing done. You got it rolling. And I know, like you said, with the weather and all that stuff, technical stuff, we're, you know, still working out kinks here. It's only a couple of weeks that we're doing this.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll have that new studio already, and all those kinks will be worked out too.
Yeah, no doubt about that, bro. 866-475-2948. 866-I-PLAY. Let's take a quick call here. We got Earl from Wisconsin, the Cheesehead. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you, bro?
Hey, I want to let you know, it's pretty cool now we're on hold. We can hear the show.
Yes. Oh, thank you for bringing it up, brother. Yeah, that was a thing that was fixed. Again, just evolution of us doing a better job here. But, yes, that's great to hear. So, like Earl just said, when you call in and you are on hold, you can hear the show. So that's awesome. Good, man. What do you want to talk about, bro?
Well, I was going to ask you a wrestling question, but then they said you were talking football, so does it matter?
No, you can ask whatever you want. I mean, I'm not a football expert. I'm a guy who covers football from, like, a real fan's perspective. You know, right. I'm not a stats guy. I'm not like one of these NFL network guys or ESPN. That's not my deal. You know what I mean? I'm like you and me. We could talk football. Yeah, go for it. Hopefully I can answer or give a good opinion on what you're talking about.
Okay, well, last time I called, I don't know if you remember, I'm a Cowboys fan.
I do. Now that you're saying that, yes, I do remember that. Yep.
Okay. And when I called at the time and we talked, it was Dez Bryant was the issue, and I asked you, so how do you think the Cowboys season would fare without Dez Bryant? Well, now we got Romo out. So has your perspective on the team changed now? Because you said not to be too worried about it.
Yeah, I still think, you know, it's still kind of early in the season. It really is. And, you know, look, as football fans, right, we've seen this for years and years. Stuff go down late in the year where guys come in, sleepers. You know, it's just like things happen. I don't think, Matt Castle coming in there doing his thing and Romo's out. Yeah, that's a problem. I totally agree. Dez, the whole thing, I got it. I agree. But you know what, man? It's early. I mean, it's the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, and you got an awesome head coach there. You guys, you know, really, the tradition is amazing. The ownership is micromanagement-esque. So they're going to make sure everything is, you know, on top of it. You know what I mean? So everybody's on top of it, I should say. So, you know, I'm going to sit here and say you guys are going to win the NFC? I don't know that right now. I mean, it's kind of too early to predict stuff like that, right? I mean, you guys are sitting, what, 2-1 right now? You got New Orleans, I think, on Sunday, right?
Yep.
Sunday night game, so that's good. You guys got prime time right there. So, and you're playing New Orleans, who's, they're 0-2, or 0-3, I should say. So, I like your chances against the Saints.
I hear you. Just checking this. Follow up on that issue, that's all.
No problem, brother. Anything else, Earl? Are you done? Or we got anything else you want to clear the air on, or what?
Well, if I can get another minute of your time, I did have a wrestling question.
Shoot.
Okay. Back in the day, I grew up watching with my parents the AWA, NWA, and the WCCW.
Yep.
And as of recent, the network has WCCW on there, and you can watch it.
Earl, let me just make sure. Okay. I mean, WCCW, that was in Texas. That's the Von Erickson stuff, right?
Yep, exactly.
I just want to make sure, because I've been hitting the head a lot. So go ahead.
Okay. It's brought up a lot of memories. I actually remember watching some of those shows that I'm rewatching now. So my question was, there, and I don't know his name, so maybe Seth can look it up on his phone, or maybe
Seth,
you know.
Seth is not here, so he can't do anything, but I have a phone.
It's up to you then. You have a phone? Okay.
I have a phone. Go ahead.
Maybe you can do. All right. So there was a manager that used to have a whistle, and his name was like something Hussein, or it was Hussein something, and he used to blow that freaking whistle all the time. And I was wondering if there was, to your knowledge, any connection with Bill Alfonso and his crazy whistle blowing.
That's a good question. I'd have to ask Bill Alfonso, who I haven't talked to in years. I will tell you, as far as managers with whistles, okay, that there was a guy, a legendary guy, and I appreciate the call as always, Earl. There was a legendary guy named John Tolis, who was doing like a coach gimmick as a manager. Yeah, and he would blow the whistle. He was doing that, what is that promotion's name, Jordan Black, many years ago. Just a small promotion that worked at right here in New York City, Manhattan. They did a few shows. They didn't last long. It's all coming back to me slowly. But I can't remember the letters of the territory, the federation, the wrestling company. It was a small company. But John Tolis would blow the whistle all the time. And that was before Fonzie did it too. The guy in WCCW, in World Class, man, I'm trying to remember who that was. I'm not saying you're wrong. I know you're right. I just can't remember who that was. I have a phone, but I'm not going to look at it. How about that? But I do see that, Brian, you have a phone also. How's your phone working?
My phone's working okay, but I'm not finding anything.
No, that's kind of hard. How do you Google wrestling manager with whistle in World Class in Texas in 1988? How do you Google that? You can't.
You can't.
You can't Google
Bill Alfonso comes up.
Of course. And yours truly's name is going to come up with him at Bill Alfonso, right? Maybe not. All right, so again, the phone number is 866-475-2948. 866-I-PLAY. As I said in this show, if you're just joining on, I'm going to have Jim Ross, good old JR Hall of Famer, with his barbecue pigskin segment later on in the show. And Mario Ranallo, my man, the voice of New Japan Pro Wrestling on Access TV, Showtime Boxing. Guy just does it all, man. My man Mario, my paisan, he's going to be on. So it's going to be great talking to him for sure. So I want to break down. You know what? Because we're going to take a break here in a few seconds. So I'm going to break down on the other side of the break the Garden Show tomorrow for the WWE. And I also want to talk a little bit about SmackDown. Just the main event about SmackDown, something that stuck out to me. I want to talk about that. And you know what? We'll take a quick break right here. Come back on the other side. Cover all that good stuff. And remember, in this show, good old JR's coming up. And Mario Ronaldo. We'll be right back on the Taz Show. Sit tight. All right, we are back right here. I want to talk about my good friends real quick before I give you a little wrestling talk right here, some WWE stuff. I want to talk about my good friends over at DraftKings. You know I'm addicted to this thing. You know, I got a splitting headache last week because I had so many teams going on. I can't help it. I'm addicted to DraftKings. That's the truth. That's a shoot, as the wrestling people say, with their inside talk. So it's your season-long fantasy football team. You know, if it's going strong, that's great. But you know what? Do weekly fantasy like I do. Go on DraftKings. No season-long commitments. Your guy gets hurt, no big deal, no problem. Put that slunker, get rid of him. You don't need him. Of course, you're doing a new season every week, homeboys. You never get stuck with those same bums each week. I had Abdullah from the Lions on my regular fantasy team. He was sucking. I ended the whole fantasy team. Done. DraftKings, I don't worry about that. Abdullah poops the bed. Next. The next week, he's gone. That's what DraftKings is all about. They're crowning a new millionaire every week this season. Just pick your players, pile up the points, and pick up your cash. That's it. Believe me, you never, ever experienced football like this before. And it's not just the NFL, guys. College football, anything, Major League Baseball, the playoffs coming, everything. This isn't just fantasy. As usual, it's DraftKings, and I got a deal for you. I got a deal for you as usual, okay? Going to hook you up with some free stuff real simple. Hurry to DraftKings.com right now. Use the promo code TAZ and play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest, where First Place takes home $100,000. 100 hammers. That's a lot of money. Enter TAZ for free entry right now, only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. I swear they're the best. I love them. I love them. I mean, really. It's just, I told you, my head spins. It spins. So, as I talked about at the top of the show, we still have our guest coming up in a little while here, Barbecue Pigskin segment with Jim Ross. That'll be later on in the show. And coming up in the next segment, Mario Ronaldo will be on, the voice of New Japan Pro Wrestling, Showtime Boxing, and other stuff. The guy's just doing voice work. He's doing great stuff. He's all over the place. I love Mario. Looking forward to talking to this guy. He's great. A little WWE chatter right now. So, as I mentioned, we got the Garden tomorrow. You got some, it's a massive show they're doing. We're going to get into that in a second. It's going to be on the WWE Network. Obviously, we know the headline match that, Lesnar and Big Show. We'll get into that in a little bit. But last night's SmackDown, I got to tell you, man, I just want to talk a little bit about what the match we saw. It was basically Demon Kane, he's for me to say, and the Dudley Boys. But the Dudley Boys ended up defeating Seth Rollins in a New Day. This was kind of a cool deal, I got to say. This was a cool deal. I mean, early on we saw that Corporate Kane agreed to be ringside to make sure Demon Kane and whatever, all the stuff, was going to join the Dudleys, and that was intriguing. And like, the announcers even said, how is this going to happen? How is Corporate Kane going to be ringside while Demon Kane is in the ring? You know what I mean? So, it's obviously a little gimmicky there, right? But it's cool. It's entertaining. And then so we see what happens is in this match, Corporate Kane is ringside. No Demon Kane out there. The Dudleys going at it with Seth Rollins and New Day. It's basically a three-on-two situation for the most part. Ends up on the outside of the ring. Corporate Kane, get confused. He's on crutches. He gets hurt again. He's got to be taken to the back. As he's walking up the ramp, Seth Rollins is reading him the riot act from behind him, screaming, "Get back in that chair. Sit back out there." Because Seth is the heel. He's a great heel. He knows it's a three-on-two deal. And at one point, as just before Kane's about to go through the curtain with the trainer helping him, he turns back around. Great camera work by the director and the cameraman. Close-up shot on Kane's face. Call that a one-shot. Close-up on Kane's face, and he does this great smirk. You hear a good pop. Now, obviously, some of the audio, it's a tape show, so some of it is canned audio, but it don't matter. Sounded like a little bit more of an organic pop. Believe it or not, I've done so much studio work and worked on SmackDown for so many years when I worked for WWE as a commentator. I kind of could tell a real pop compared to something that's maybe just amplified a little bit. So, and it's just good TV. You got to amplify it. Why wouldn't you? You know, you're working with a net. Use the net. Right? What the hell? Nothing wrong. I have no problem with that. Some people throw flags on that. Oh, why do you got to do this? Why do you got to do that? Ah, you sweeten the audio because it sweetens the show. That's it. There's your TV production moment. So so we see Kane give this, corporate Kane, give this smirk like, ha-ha, I got you, bro, as he's walking through the curtain. Seth Rollins goes back in the ring. Boom, the Dudleys, it's a 3-on-2 situation. They're in trouble, yada, yada, yada. Who would have thunk it? Pyro, boom, here comes the big man, Kane, big pop. Demon Kane, I should say. He comes out there, gets to the ring. No, I'm sorry, doesn't get in the ring. That's where I thought was a little funky. Okay, he didn't get in the ring. He came to the outside around ringside and cleaned house. I thought it would have, because he had such energy when he came out, Demon Kane, and the pyro and the lighting treatment, all that stuff is so awesome that if he would have gotten the ring, again, armchair booking here, if he would have gotten the ring and started bumping those heels and punching those heels or, you know, throwing those heels, I thought it would have been better as opposed to on the outside. But the way they broke down the match, you can see that's, there's a reason why he was on the outside. But I do think it would have been better go a little bit more traditional and bump the guys, the heels in the ring, like just a house of fire, pun intended. I think that would have been better. But anyway, so what happens is the Dudleys end up hitting 3D in the middle of this whole craziness because Seth Rollins was running from Kane, went through the audience, which I want to get to in a second. Dudleys hit 3D. I think it was on Kofi, I believe. Again, the big, gigantic buildup for Kane going against Rollins is just right there because he ends up destroying everyone. After the victory by with the 3D, he even chokeslammed the Dudleys. He chokeslammed the New Day. Chokeslammed, he just killed everybody. So they're just really building Kane that he's just the big red machine is back, or Demon Kane, or the Unstoppable Monster, and all this other stuff. So I thought the whole thing was cool, well done. I liked it. But this is what I want to talk about Seth Rollins, because again, let me give you the phone number here so I don't get yelled at. 866-475-2948, 866-I-PLAY-IT. I thought it was interesting, again, I touched on this week. Talent, wrestlers, now going into the audience. And if you pay attention, that's what happened here. Seth Rollins ran scared through the audience. And I believe he came back around towards the end and watched Kane destroy everyone. Through the entranceway on the top of the ramp, the stage. I think, again, this is I don't know if it's contrived or if this is what WWE is trying to do. I really don't know. I might be on my own conspiracy theory here, so I could be wrong, but I don't know. Something, my instincts tell me I'm not wrong on this. I think they're doing something like I talked about the other day, where they're putting talent in front of the people. Where, you know, you guys want to jump the guardrail. You wanna be unprofessional, not unprofessional. You wanna try and get in the game and get involved, and you wanna jump in the ring and be a star. Okay, cool, no problem. We're gonna bring our talent to you. We're gonna come right into the audience, and we're gonna fight amongst in the audience. We're gonna have our talent run scared as a heel would do in front of you guys. So if you wanna grab one of our guys now outside of the ring, or you wanna throw a punch, or you wanna now I think the talent really is in a position where he's got to protect himself. And I actually like what WWE is doing if this is by design. Because I gave the analogy for those that heard it, like a football team. I think I used Ray Lewis as an example for offensive coordinators. Ray Lewis was such a great player that, you know, as a linebacker for the Ravens, that if you try to run away from him left or right, he'd hunt the ball carrier down. And then some of the better things to do was to go right at Ray Lewis. And sometimes you have a better defensive player, you go right at him as opposed to trying to take an angle on him. And I think that could be, again, could be a conspiracy theory by me. But I do think that's what the WWE is doing here. I really do. I mean, because it seems like they've done this now, I think, twice in a matter of, I don't know, 7-8 days. Where talent has been in the audience. So, keep an eye on that. This is why I do what I do on the Taz Show. I'm pulling out things, I'm seeing things nobody else sees. It's how I roll. You know what I'm saying? This is the deal. This is my thing. I see it when you don't. You're sitting there eating chips and drinking an orange crushed soda, and I'm playing wrestling detective. I'm joking. So, By the way, speaking of beverages, I got to say, Brian, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm a big iced coffee guy, and black iced coffee, straight black, and I usually get one, you know, every morning. I drink them later in the afternoon. We're at that point of the year, a point of the season, I should say, the weather. Now it's hot coffee time. Brian, are you a coffee guy?
I'm actually not. I'm a green tea drinker.
Okay, now I have a question.
Sure.
So, I know a lot of people like you that they don't like coffee because coffee's too mean. The caffeine's mean. Mean, caffeine, mean. But I have to ask you, how do you live without legitimate caffeine? I know there's caffeine in tea.
There is caffeine.
Where's your energy, dude? Is that why you look like you're falling asleep all the time? Is that the reason?
Probably, yes. Probably is. The reason I don't drink coffee is I used to work outside of a Dunkin' Donuts at a gas station when I was in high school, and I just hated the smell.
Really? So. Wow, that's right. Most people love the smell of Java. But, wow. So you worked outside of a Dunkin' Donuts. So
yeah.
So you got into this whole... So you're like one of these holistic healers? Like you're like into
no,
like
not
yoga?
At all. Not at all.
You're not into all that?
I did take a yoga class in college.
Did you? How'd that go for you?
It was pretty good. It was all you had to do was sit there and you know you meditate and you fall asleep pretty much.
Yeah, buddy.
Easy A.
Yeah, that's pretty easy to do. Yeah, no, I'm a big coffee guy. I'm probably going to have to stop drinking coffee at one day soon enough, I'm sure. But I've always been a big caffeine guy. I'm big into that type of stimulant. I like caffeine. See, caffeine is a stimulant. That's what people don't realize. You know, I drink coffee. Oh, look, my son, my daughter, look, she's only 7 years old, and I give her tons of Coca-Cola, and she drinks this, or even Diet Coke because it's too much sugar in Coca-Cola. Hey, you're giving your kid a stimulant, okay? people don't realize that. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, you're right.
Caffeine is a stimulant. So, you know, I got to say, my son, like, never was a soda drinker when he was little, and, he's a big beer drinker since he's about six. No, I'm joking. No, he never was a soda drinker. My wife and I just never got him into that. He always was milk, milk, milk. You know, milk builds your bones, builds your strength. It's good protein. And then water. He's a big water guy. And iced tea. I like a little iced tea. But he never was into the whole coffee, Coca-Cola, soda deal, you know, all that stuff. But I got to say, it's the time of year, man, where you kind of got to get out of the whole... It's time to get out of the ice beverage and get into the hot beverage. So I got myself a nice big, speaking of Dunkin' Donuts, a nice big dark roast coffee early this morning. Get my ass woken up a little bit. Again, the phone number is 866-475-2948. 866-I-PLAY-IT. As I said, got Mario Rinaldi coming up shortly here. It's going to be great chatting up with him. Like I said, I want to go over the WWE Madison Square Garden, the Go to Hell Tour. As they're deeming it, Brock Lesnar's deal that Paul Heyman did a great job on the voiceover of on Raw last week or the week before. Go to Hell Tour. That's a tour I've been on, as I said, probably 25 years now. I've been on it. I've been told to go to hell by promoters and wrestlers many a time. Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, the people around here at CBS, Brian, they're going to start telling me to go to hell too, I think. They might have behind my back, actually.
Who knows?
Oh,
I don't know. No one tells me nothing.
I can tell. Just drink your tea and relax, right, buddy?
I will.
No, but yeah, so anyway, the Garden, man. Tomorrow's going to be hopping. It's going to be hopping. I got to say, it's going to be a huge show. I'm not going to the show. We had Mike Johnson on from PW Insider, and he came on with his report. And Mike will be at the Garden show tomorrow. And it's going to be jammed to the roof. The Garden will be hopping. I'm going to definitely check this out on the WWE Network. I got a dip and dodger on all my college football, though. So, as we know, the main event is Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman against The Big Show. You know, this is Lesnar's first big appearance, man, since WrestleMania 20, I believe. So, this is huge in itself. And WWE's been promoting it right. Paul Heyman hit some stuff about Suplex City on the TV show the other day and all that stuff. So, they're doing a good job building this thing up. Big Show, they've piled a bunch of heat on, built him up real good, cooked him up. You know, so, you know, they talked about the history of these guys on Raw. We saw them kind of talk about Brock and Big Show, kind of like this rivalry. I don't know if it's really a rivalry, but there's definitely a history, you know, a strong history. But they did a good job. I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to promote the right way. And that's what WWE does better than anyone, as I've said many times out here, and I'll keep saying. So this should be an interesting match. Will this be like a 10-star match? No. I don't think you got two, you know, very gigantic big guys. One big guy in Big Show who is definitely in the twilight of his career but knows how to work, has great timing, and is actually more athletic than some would think. So, and Brock Lesnar, who's just a beast mode athlete, as we know. So, speaking of coffee, I'll take a sip. So, this should be good. I mean, this should be good from a storytelling perspective. I think these guys will nail it. From a high spot perspective, I don't think you're going to see a ton of high spots. I think it's pretty, here's my prediction now. I think it's pretty obvious here that, Lesnar's going to win the match. And they've even amped up Lesnar's dates, by the way. He's going to be on, so some are saying because of ratings and stuff. I think he's going to be at Raw in Boston, I believe, on Monday. I'm not reading this now. I'm just going on memory what I've read yesterday online. I believe that's what it is. So if I'm wrong on that info, don't kill me. So, you know, because I just fly out of here. You know that. I'm not a big reading notes guy. That's not my thing. I don't read notes. I'm not a big notes guy. Brian, right or wrong? Is there like a lot of papers around me besides the stuff that you just throw in front of me and Seth usually throws in front of me?
Oh, there's papers everywhere.
Yeah, but I'm not reading them.
No.
They're just sitting around.
Yes, they're just sitting there, hopefully not disturbing your mic.
Yeah. No, they're not. They're not at all. It's all good, bro. And so anyway, I'm interested to see what happens here with Lesnar and Big Show. I mean, Lesnar's going to win, but I'm interested to see what they do, how they do it. Maybe they'll do something gimmicky. It might be cool. Would it be cool? Maybe they break the ring again. Remember that they showed that? They showed that history of that? I was lucky enough to be one of the commentators on that, along with Michael Cole, when that happened. I told that story this week, I believe. Again, the phone number is 866-475-2948, 866-I-PLAY-IT. So I'm definitely interested to see what the finish is. I think Lesnar wins. I'm interested to see how they do it. So the other thing is, I'm trying to fix my headset, I apologize. The other thing is, United States champion John Cena, man. This is going to be pretty cool, too. A good build-up here because we saw Seth Rollins going to face Seth Rollins, WWE World Champion. Steel cage match. Does that not scream Madison Square Garden on a Saturday freaking night? Seriously, guys. Steel cage match. I'm looking forward to this. I am. As we know, Rollins recently had both championships. He had the United States Championship and the WWE Championship at Night of Champions. Cena defeated Rollins to win back his U.S. title. So it should be. I think these two guys should put on a great show. I don't have a prediction who's going to win the match. I really don't. I would probably lean towards Rollins, but I don't know. Steel cage match, anything could happen here. Who knows? You might not get a real finish. You never know. I mean, it could be a screw job finish. Who knows? I really don't know. So it's tough to give a prediction on this because I don't want to just sit here and give a name, and I don't care about being wrong. I don't feel good about giving a name because I don't know if there's going to be a clear-cut winner. You know, I guess that's kind of what I'm saying. But this next match I'll give a prediction on, and that is the WWE Tag Team Championship match with the New Day as the champions versus the challengers, the Dudley Boys, Bubba and Devon. Bubba and Devon, man, it's just pretty cool, man. They have not been back to Madison Square Garden since Mania, kind of like Lesnar, right? Since last appearance, I should say, since WrestleMania 20, so at the Garden. I'm really looking forward to this, being friends with the Dudleys so many years and so happy for these guys. I'm going to predict, I do think the Dudleys win this match and become champions again for the 75,000th time, because these guys, the Dudleys, have been champions so many times in every territory they've been. I do think that they're going to win the match. I do. Now, we had a caller. I apologize. I can't remember what his name was a couple days ago here on the Taz show that called in and said, well, I don't know, Taz, I'm throwing a flag on you, bro, because I think that it's going to be that the New Day is going to win and retain their championship, and the Dudleys will defeat them for the championship down the road here in like a table match, a gimmick match type thing, a match that's a match known for the Dudley Boys, which could happen too, but I don't know. I'm taking that guy's flag and throwing it back in his face, and I'm going to sit here and tell you that I think the Dudleys are going to be the new tag team champions tomorrow night. They're going to defeat the New Day. I just think it's going to happen. I think it'll be a great pop. It's going to be a great pop. These guys are going to get a great reaction. It's their hometown. I wish I was going to be there to witness it. I'm not going to be there. I would have loved to have been there. I was not invited there, but it's all good. I have no ill will feelings towards anyone. I don't work there, nor do I need to be there. I am going to be somewhere tomorrow. I have to, an appearance, as long as the hurricane don't stop me, in New Jersey, but I'll get into that later on. But that's in the morning on Saturday. So I digress, as they say. La, 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 la. So, yeah, I do think that the New Day are going to lose their titles. I think the New Day is made so much right now, meaning made as characters. I do not think that the New Day needs the championship anymore. I just don't. I mean, I think it's good for the Dudleys to come back in and you know, just do their thing and take those championships, make them even bigger than they are right now. I just think it's a good move. I think the New Day could go on and do a lot of things. We saw some interaction with the primetime players and the Dudleys. Who knows? Maybe they're going to go to a three-way with these three teams. You know, I don't know. I do. I just feel like it's the Dudley's time. Also, we are going to have the this one I'm reading. Oh, yes. This one I'm reading. I just want to make sure on this. WWE Intercontinental Championship, man. Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. Now, I have some thoughts and opinions about this. Okay, phone number 866-475-2948. 866-I-PLAY-IT. Okay, I do have some thoughts and opinions on this. I do think that Kevin Owens is going to retain his Intercontinental Championship. So there's my prediction. He's going to beat Jericho. Boom, done. I do think, you know, as we heard, I think it was Mike Johnson who came on. We talked about that Don Callis, I believe it is, and Lance Storm, who was recently on the show here with me, will be there for Jericho because I think this is the anniversary. I could be wrong on this. I'm not the leader of the Jericho fan club, so I apologize. But I think what Mike was saying, this was Jericho's his anniversary of his first match or something like that. So he has Lance Storm, and I think it was Callis because they were there, you know, when he broke in. They all broke in together. So they're going to be in attendance, like an anniversary thing. I think that's really nice. I think that's nice that WWE allows those guys to enter in and hook up with Chris at the Garden, you know, for his wrestling anniversary. I think that's what it is. Now, Kevin Owens, this is the thing. I think this is going to be a good victory for Kevin Owens to defeat a guy like Chris Jericho, who's such a decorated champion and has had such a great career, Chris Jericho, and just a tremendous entertainer. Again, phone number 866-475-2948 if you want to give any opinions. We had a little issue with the phone line. I think it's good now. On the Garden Show for tomorrow, you can call in. 866-I-PLAY-IT, 866-475-2948. Back to the IC Championship. So I think Jericho has done so well and done so great. And it's a great opportunity for Kevin Owens to get a victory on a guy like Chris. But I do want to talk a little bit about the Intercontinental Championship more, because you guys know that, listen to the podcast version of the show and me. You know I pitched an idea. Not pitched. That would mean I would tell WWE. I didn't tell WWE. That pitch is the wrong word. I discussed or fantasy booked an idea for the IC title. But first, I want to jump on the phone here with my man Jose from Florida. Jose, how are you?
I'm doing good, Seth. How are you doing this morning, man?
Good, buddy. Where in Florida are you?
I'm in Lakeland. I actually called last week.
Oh, you called last week. Lakeland. All right, man. What's going on? What do you want to talk about?
Dude, I actually wanted to, you know, touch on the point that you made about Seth going into the crowd.
Yes.
And I think I'm with you, man. I think that's Vince kind of telling the fans that, listen, you know, business is going to be as usual. You know, we're not going to change our approach.
Right.
And, you know, we bumped up security, so it's like, you know, kind of telling the fans, listen, you know, we want to entertain you, just sit in your seat and be entertained, and everything will be hunky-dory, you know what I mean?
That's right, because listen, man, if you're sitting, now, I'm sure you've been to live wrestling shows at some point in your life, right?
Yes, sir, I was actually there the night you debuted in WWE, man, at the Garden.
Oh, man, thank you, that's nice to hear, and I appreciate that, bro, I remember that, like it was yesterday.
Awesome stuff, bro, awesome
Thank
stuff.
You, buddy, thank you, and I got to tell you, you know, when you're sitting in the audience, Jose, I think you can attest to this, and you see the guys, you know, like how big or thick or menacing these guys are in person when they're next to you, as opposed to in the ring, you might be a little hesitant to grab them when they're fighting right near you, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, because most people, they wouldn't have the balls, you know what I mean? So
that's the truth, you know what I mean? Like the dude that snuck in with the shield, you know what I mean? He kind of snuck up behind them when nobody was looking, got his kicks, and then got dragged out the ring. You know, it's a different environment when somebody like a Roman Reigns with his guns in your face is kind of, you know,
right,
actually ready to do something about it, you might think twice about it.
Yeah, no, it's pretty intimidating when you see a pro wrestler, adrenaline-filled, just his blood pressure through the roof, and he's in the audience running around frantic, either fighting someone or trying to get away from Demon Kane. You know, Go ahead and grab that guy. Now grab him. Don't, you don't have to jump a guardrail. Just grab him, and let's see what happens.
Exactly, so, man. You know,
that's kind of the deal, man. I appreciate you, Jose. Thanks for calling in and jumping on, and very nice of you to give that input from a fan perspective. Again, the phone number is 866-475-2948. You got to bring up. Why do you got to bring up the guard when they debuted? I get all mushy now. I get all sad. Miss those times. That was a great moment. My big career with WWE started and ended all in one match. Anyway, speaking of the Garden, back to what my topic was here about the Intercontinental Championship. So, as I said, I predict Chris Jericho will not be victorious and Kevin Owens will retain. And I think you'll see a big hug fest, which will be nice, in the ring. I'm sure it'll be on WWE Network, unless they just do it for the house, where they might cut to a package, and maybe you don't see Don Callis and you don't see Lance Storm. I'm interested to see that. Maybe they don't even show you these guys. That could happen. That could happen. So don't be surprised if that don't happen, because it could happen. There you go. I think the Intercontinental Championship, as I said, I think they could be doing a better deal here with this title. Again, for those that never heard me say it, I'll say it real quick. I do think that Cesaro and Kevin Owens and a best, you know, 3 out of 5 match or something like that, some kind of a series with these guys over the course of a few months, or 2 months, would be great with Kevin Owens and Cesaro. I think they both need the TV time. I think they both can exemplify their abilities as in-ring talents and WWE superstars against each other. I think they have insane chemistry together. I think both their mic skills can build us up and draw a lot of money. I think you also would make a lot of the IWC, that's the Internet Wrestling Community, those that aren't familiar, the hardcore fan base, which is gigantic now as opposed to back in the day, and WWE and all these other companies do listen to you guys. So I think that'll make you guys happy, and it should, because that would be a great, great angle, a great, great series, Owens and Cesaro for the Intercontinental title. And most importantly, what I do think that kind of fantasy booking angle does is it makes the IC title, the Intercontinental title, needs to be made. Because right now, it's not. It needs to be made more. I think having it on a guy like Owens is a good thing, okay? I do. I think he'll make the title, but I do think in the right angle or feud, it makes the title more. Let's go to John from Arkansas. I think he might help us with the question we had on his manager. John, what's up, my man?
Yes, Taz, I can help you with the question about the manager with the whistle from World Class.
All right, Pork Chop John, go for it.
Armand Hussein,
yes, that's it. Now, I know you, just by knowing you the past couple of times you've called the show, you're not Googling that. That's in your brain.
Well, actually, I did cheat a little bit.
At least you're honest.
I couldn't mentally picture the guy, though, because I remember it. And I also remember the Golden Greek, John Tolis.
Yeah, Golden Greek. I couldn't remember his moniker. But yeah, but Tolis. What was the name of that company? I know he wrestled for years, but...
Herb Abrams.
Right, Herb Abrams, right. But it was UWF, which was not... And I always thought that was weird. I got to ask JR about that. Because, you know, the real UWF in the United States, I believe...
Yeah, was Bill Watts,
right. So... Man, was that after? I think it was kind of around the same time, a little bit after Bill Watts did it, and then Herb Abrams just stole the letters. That's weird, huh?
Yeah, I think that's how it worked out. Yeah. And he somehow managed to get Dr. Death in there, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. I remember that, actually. I remember they used to do shows down here in the city in New York, and thanks for the call, John. You're always good, man. Have a pork chop this weekend. Make sure you call back Monday. But, yeah, it's good, man. You know what? We got to take a quick break. We're going to come back to the other side of the break. Have my man Mario Ranallo on, and then I'll continue when we're done with Mario. I'll talk a little bit more about the Garden Show tomorrow. This is the Taz Show. Mario Ranallo, the voice of New Japan Pro Wrestling, coming at you in 2 minutes. All right, we're back on the Taz Show. I'm Taz. You know how much I love Sleeper Bot, guys. It helps me constantly with my fantasy stuff. You get all your, look, the sleepers. You want sleepers? Sleeper Bot gets you the sleepers, and you get it quick, injury updates, everything you could imagine. They were the first to break the news about multiple injuries, roster changes, depth chart changes, everything in week three. They do not play around. You can also sync your league and get news and custom recommendations from the expert for your team. It's unbelievable. Sleeperbot is the way to go. It is the best. It's like you get a text message. You think you got a text, and it's Sleeperbot giving you instant breaking news on stuff before everybody else knows. You know, don't tell your league mates. You know, this is the way to go. Man, I highly recommend you get it right now. It's the best. The alerts come quick, succinctly. They're right to the point. You can make your roster changes or bench guys, whatever you want to do. Again, it's called Sleeperbot. It's an iOS and Android. Just search for it. You're going to thank me later, I promise. It's an awesome app, quick app. They have lots of members just chatting about fantasy football 24/7. It's the best. Get on Sleeperbot right away. I promise you'll thank me later. All right, Mauro. We got Mauro. Is he on? Are we here? Mario!
Hello!
Oh, bro, what are you ribbing me? What's going on over here? Come on!
Io sono Mauro Domenico Antonio Ranallo, and I gave you the right number. Come on, Taz. You were busy eating that prosciutto and mozzarella panini. That's what you were doing.
Yes, well, for those, well, obviously nobody knows except you and I what you're talking about, so I'll smarten everybody up, brother. Basically, Mario and I were going back and forth on direct messaging, having fun, just acting like two knucklehead paisans. And I took a picture right out of my refrigerator, a log of prosciutto and mozzarella with basil. Ah. And I sent it to him, and he just replied with a big mamma mia.
Delicioso. So what's happening, Taz?
Nothing, brother. Sorry we had a little delay getting you on the hook here.
No worries.
Sometimes I look at the numbers. I've been hitting ahead a lot, bro. That's just a problem.
Hey.
There's a big problem.
Hey, by the way, I want to just quickly go on what Porkchop John said there. And I also remember vividly your incredible debut at Madison Square Garden, beating the previously undefeated Kurt Angle. And I was hoping that would be the rocket to the top of the mountain, my man.
Yeah.
And,
rocket fell out again.
A little bit.
The rocket fuel was empty. That's what happened. It just.
You know what? You've made the most out of everything in your career, and it's an honor and a pleasure to be talking with you right now, my friend.
Oh, I appreciate that, and I'm a huge fan of your work, bro. And you do so much stuff. I mean, literally, you are the voice of combat sports. I mean, I can't name anyone who does just a potpourri of everything from professional wrestling to mixed martial arts to boxing. I mean, Showtime Boxing, obviously, you're doing that. Now, you're in Cincinnati or you came back already?
No, I'm in Cincinnati, the home of the 3-0 Bengals, and I'm getting ready to do a doubleheader tomorrow night, actually, on Showtime at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. That's how we shill here. Mm. But it's a doubleheader tomorrow night, and looking forward to it. A couple of championships on the line as Adrian, the problem, Broner. Hey, how's this, Taz? We got two guys who are coming off losses who are vying for a world championship, only in the sport of boxing.
And they say pro wrestling's a work. Come on.
What was it? Ken Anderson? Who was it? Mick Foley, pro wrestling is real. The rest of life is a work.
I think then Anderson did something too, right? I remember in TNA,
right,
he had a T-shirt, a plus spinoff,
right,
or something.
Right.
Oh, yeah, no, it's so true, though. And you know how it is when you're from the business, right? Everything's a work. So, to me, everything
is a work.
The NFL's a work. Everything's a work. What's that?
When I started, actually, at 16, I was discovered in high school by Al Tomko in Vancouver with All-Star Wrestling. I was brought in as a heel manager and an announcer. And I always thought...
And let me interrupt you, bro. You look like I saw some video of that. You look like a little kid. You remind me of an Italian-Canadian version of Paul Heyman.
That's an amazing compliment, first and foremost. But I thought that kayfabe was the room where all the wrestlers used to hang out in. For the first year, they never smartened me up to the business. And I remember doing a promo with no script. You know, they didn't tell me anything. I go back into the green room in the TV studio, and it was silent. And this one veteran, Rocky De La Serra, came up to me and goes, "Kid, you got a lot of heat." And I'm like, "Oh my God, is that good? Am I doing the right thing?" So it was kind of funny my first year in the business, but obviously it launched me to a career that I've been eternally grateful for, and just continuing to enjoy the ride, my friend.
No, you do an awesome job. You're so look, I'm not a big blow smoke up people's ass guy, you know, but I got to tell you, bro, you're so, like, just multi-talented. I mean, you're basically, I mean, talk about just that you're able to do the research, to show prep, to know that, you know, different backstories and backgrounds on guys from New Japan, guys in the MMA world, guys in the boxing world. Dude, how do you have time in the day? Like, what is your schedule like? Your voiceover schedule's got to be crazy. I'm sure there's other things that you do that I don't even know that you do that in regards to your voice and audio. Like, fill us in on like a week. What your deal is, what voiceovers and
sessions.
Well,
it's here we are coming off the busiest month of my career. I started September 12th with what ostensibly was Floyd Mayweather's final fight against Andre Berto. A week later, I'm calling Glory Kickboxing as part of Bellator Glory Dynamite in San Jose, California. The Tuesday after, I made my debut on Fox Sports 1 with Premier Boxing Champions. Then we do the tapings for New Japan. It is a blur at times, but I've been one of these people, Taz, and I truly believe we all have a purpose and a path. And at the age of 4 or maybe 5 years old, I really truly, without knowing what the term meant at the time, visualized my life. And I wanted to be the champion of the world in pro wrestling. But you ask how I do it. I'm not athletic. I'm a nerd. I've always been someone who loves research, loves knowledge. I devour books on all subjects. I'm a TV junkie. And, yeah, I'm a combat sports junkie. And I guess the good man upstairs has blessed me with what some people call a photographic memory. But I truly just have learned to compartmentalize. And to me, it is all about the story. It's all about the people involved, the human involvement. And I just love storytelling. I love people's paths and journeys. And you know, as overwhelming as it may seem to some, there really is a correlation, especially when it comes to pro wrestling, MMA, boxing, and kickboxing, and the promotion and the matches themselves. You know, in calling New Japan, as you well know, Taz, it really is a hybrid of
absolutely,
you know, fighting and pro wrestling. There's elements of MMA, and I know you have a judo background, and you know, I've always appreciated your color commentary because you always instill elements of shoot fighting into your call and using technical names like the Uchimata Aregoshi and, yep, and so on and so forth.
I appreciate you noticing that because, you know, I don't know, that's what I want to say about that. I appreciate you because, you know, I respect you and from your background being an expert in that world, and for me to go out there and call a Katagaro or Garuma or Onuchimaru or Ippon Sayanagi and stuff like that, when I was doing that, you know, like nobody was. I was just trying to be different, you know, and
right.
And that's all it was. But, I mean, I've learned from working with great play-by-play guys, right, as a color, yeah, commentator, guys like Jim, sure, Ross, who will be on in a little,
absolutely,
while, actually. Guys like Mike Tenay, guys like Michael Cole. I just remember guys like Joey Styles. The amount of prep work that goes into the gig to call one brand, one,
right,
style of fighting, one show is insane. That you do it for all this is mind-boggling.
Well, but then there are sacrifices to be made as well. I'm in my mid-40s. I'm single, no kids, and at times people, you know, I think we all sacrifice to get to where we are. And honestly, I've been learning more in the last couple of years since I hit 40. There were times, Taz, where, you know, it was a 24-hour-a-day gig. I used to be a morning radio co-host and sports caster, and then I'd go call live sports, like real sports, football,
right,
hockey, up in my native British Columbia, and then I'd be a nightclub DJ and then go do it all over again without,
wow,
any sleep. And so it takes a toll. And now the last few years, you know, I've realized we're all mortal. I've taken some time and started working out more, eating a little healthy, doing a little hiking and meditation. So for me, it's all about finding the balance, but I've been afforded the opportunity now where, you know, I don't work. I mean, I have empathy for people like you. I used to do what you're doing now, Monday to Friday, and to me, that takes a lot of cojones.
Yeah, well,
I've actually, you know, for me, my focus is always on the next event. So I'm able to put whatever happens, like tomorrow night, I'll call the doubleheader, and then I'll put it in my rearview mirror, and I keep the files on my trusted iPad and continue to add notes and try to freshen things up. And I'm a guy when it comes to, you know, my prep and announcing, it's about, again, humanizing these people, knowing the moves, and also adding a little bit of my personality. I like to keep things topical. I like to tie in maybe non-combat sports-related anecdotes to to maybe satisfy the wife or the girlfriend who's being forced to watch the fight, you know what I mean? And,
smart.
And just to add a little personality to it. So thus far, it's been a dream come true, and honestly, it just keeps getting better and better, which is simply amazing.
Yes, man, you're doing an awesome job. Now, I want to ask you, we touched on it a little bit here and there in this conversation, right, about New Japan Pro Wrestling. So on Access TV and all this stuff, and it's a great gimmick, it's a great show. You do a great job on it. Now, so with that, without pulling back the curtain too much, so obviously these are matches that are in the can, right? So
yeah.
You're voicing these things over. Kind of like let fans know a little bit how on your end how that's done.
Sure. What happens is, you're right, and this is what's blown all of our minds. Josh Barnett and everyone at Access, and the hats off to the fine folks at Access to take this chance and bring New Japan Pro Wrestling to America on a weekly basis.
Amen. I agree. Amen on that.
Yeah.
I agree. Yep.
When we started in January, Josh Barnett and I were brought in over 3 days, and we were we called to, what was it now, four days. We called 12 shows in 4 days. So there were three one-hour shows on three different days. And 4 1-hour shows on one day. They put us in a little room, and Taz, you know what I'm talking about, and working with TNA and everything else.
Yes.
They put us in this closet-sized studio. They put the matches on, and Josh Barnett on purpose did not watch the tapes that were set out. And for yours truly, I just looked at it to see, okay, this is who it involves. I've been a fan of New Japan.
Okay, let me interrupt you, bro. I want to let people know why, from a commentator, from Barnett, a color commentator's perspective. I, if you don't mind, I'll tell people why he didn't watch those matches, because he didn't want it to seem contrived. He wanted he wanted to react organically and naturally, like a fan would. Well, it's like the first time he watched it. Correct?
Absolutely. And for yours truly, having seen the matches when they actually happened years before, going back 2 years ago,
right,
I kind of knew what was going on. But at the same time, and again, whether it's a gift, whether it's a curse, because let's face it, as much as I've been receiving some amazing feedback, you know, Taz, the trolls and the haters are always going to be there. They keep us honest and they keep us motivated. But but for yours truly, I went in there, and honestly, I've always had the ability to just put myself in the moment, and people like Dave Meltzer and yourself and so many other amazing people in the business, including Jay, the legendary Jim Ross, who's become a friend, just were able to compliment the fact that it appeared like we were ringside. And even the people in the studio, like the guys I work with at Access, they're like, how is this guy doing? And like, I mean, I just was able to put myself in the moment and call the matches like they were happening at that moment. And again, with all the accolades and compliments, let's not forget that I was also spoiled, Josh and I, because the matches between Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kazuchika Okada, Shinsuke Nakamura, I mean, New Japan right now, since 2011, Taz, is in its own golden era. And you know, without getting too hyperbolic or over the top in what I'm saying, these matches were really like the Flair and Steamboat series of the 80s and Briscoe and Funk, and you know what I'm talking about. I mean, this is professional wrestling at the highest level, and why is it at the highest level? Because what matters most is what happens when that bell rings, and the stage is that squared circle where they tell stories with holds and counter holds, and actually, you know, selling, the art of selling, Taz, with the facial expression.
Well, and you know, that was my big thing. I was always,
absolutely,
I was the best.
And that's why I love ECW so much, in the sense that it was, you know, Paul Heyman always made the most of with what he had. And not to go off on a tangent here, but that reminded me.
Wait, hold on. Wait, you just give me a left-handed comment. Are you basically saying Paul made chicken salad out of me that was chicken?
I'm saying, Taz, and you will, Taz, you'll be the first to say this, with your physicality and your dimensions, and you know where I'm going with this.
Dimensions? Bro, you're killing me.
When pro wrestling was Vince McMahon, you know, when Vince first changed over stuff, he wanted those huge bodybuilders.
Yes.
Did you have ever been given a chance at the time, my friend?
No.
But see, that's what I'm saying. And yet you were, and legitimately so, everyone believed that, yes, you had the ability, thanks to your promo skills, your suplexes, your wrestling ability, to become the baddest man on the planet. I was terrified of you, my friend.
I hear you.
I know that was all you, but we got to give Paul some credit.
Paul gets a ton of credit, and I've said that publicly, a ton. And not only Paul, but the boys that I work with, those guys got over, you know? I mean, that's all of them.
But that's what I'm saying, and what I mean, what I was going to say, it's like Strikeforce MMA, when the UFC was, you know, obviously the big juggernaut. Strikeforce reminded me of ECW, and that maybe not the world's best mixed martial artist in terms of those stupid rankings and everything, and yet the fights were memorable. The shows were built, you know, from the opening match to the main event, some of the best action you'd see anywhere. And that's why I kind of made that correlation. But in terms of New Japan, you are seeing the best pro wrestling on the planet, and the ratings have been overwhelmingly, I think, surprising in a way for a niche sport, but they've been very good, and the fact is we've been renewed now for another year, and beginning next Friday, in fact, we're going to be, for the next 5 weeks, covering every match of Wrestle Kingdom 9, which is Japan's version of WrestleMania, so you'll, and in a way, I feel a little bad, because it was Jim Ross and Matt Stryker that called the pay-per-view, and anybody who knows me knows I bow down at the altar of JR, who is, you know, Gordon Solie was the dean of broadcasting, but Jim Ross, to me, is the best guy to ever call professional wrestling.
He's the man. He's
and
the
I
man.
Know that you, a guy you know very well, and another Paisan, I sometimes think Joey Styles doesn't get, nowadays, the credit that he deserves, because in many ways, when I watch DCW, Joey Styles called professional wrestling the way I was calling it and wanted to call it, and in fact, the way I call it now. So
Joey called it alone,
and that's what's amazing. That to me was what truly is amazing, and I think, you know, Joey Styles is right up there as one of the best to ever do it as well.
No doubt, and I think you're right. I think Joey was one of, you know, he brought a lot of realism to his call. He was very you know. He would shoot, man, and that's what Paul wanted. And he was doing this a lot of times, 2-3 o'clock in the morning in a little house in a basement in Westchester, New York. I mean, he wasn't doing this in like a real professional studio, you know.
And that's why there's similarities, because honestly, that's how Josh and I approached New Japan. We didn't want to, you know, with all due respect to Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan, who were legendary and incredible of what they did. I wanted to call this like a shoot almost. I mean, and in many ways, New Japan with the strong style Taz, and you know, you talk about potatoes, my friend, you get every form of potatoes, french fries, scallop, whatever the hell you want to call it. These strikes are, you know, they're not pulling any punches.
I know, I've worked there, I know. I had a young boy, one of those young boys kicked me in the lip. We were doing a high spot, I don't remember where, we weren't in Tokyo. And he about kicked me in the face. I take a bump out of the ring, like a jump and spin kick, and I take a powder out of the ring, and because I knew I got dinged, and I'm like, I grab my mouth because I shook it off. People pop, and I feel something weird on my chin, and I'm like, what the heck's going on? And what it was my teeth came through my bottom lip, literally came through, and there was just blood all over my hand. I went in the ring, Recito, my friend, and
It's funny because you know Boss Rutten, who was my color commentator.
Love Boss Rutten. Love him.
Baddest, you know, the most legit badasses of all time, just recently inducted to the UFC Hall of Fame. It's funny. Back in the day, of course, Antonio Inoki wanted, and stupidly so, as we learned, he fed his, you know, top name pro wrestlers to these actual shoot fighters, these mixed martial artists. So Boss, of course, being trained in Pancrase and MMA, was put in this New Japan pro wrestling match. I forget who it was now, but They went through the match and everything, and of course Boss didn't realize when he was in the corner, this guy, you know, hit him for real, punched him, and Boss instinctively just punched him so hard he knocked the guy out. The referee didn't know what to do. Nobody knew what to do. The match was supposed to go like 8 minutes or It lasted all of 45 seconds, and Boss knocked the guy out.
I've never met Boss. I mean, I'm a fan of his. And I would love to have him on the show here. I really would.
You know what? I could facilitate that. Well, I'm sure you could get him yourself, but I could definitely facilitate that.
That'd be awesome.
There's no one that is as scary and, like I say, legitimately a badass who, on the other side, is the sweetest, most amazing human being that you will ever meet. He is. He's just, his charisma, Taz, is unlike anyone I've really ever met, and I mean that sincerely. Like, he has been. There would be no Mauro Ranallo without Boss Rutten. Let's put it that way.
Now, he lives out in L.A., I guess?
Yeah, he's about 20 minutes away from where I am, and it's funny because I'm like 10 minutes away from Frank Shamrock, who's become more than just a friend, but a business manager and brother, and he and Boss had the legendary trilogy in Pancrase, so it's kind of cool that in this little pocket of Southern California, I'm surrounded by all these MMA legends.
Hey, speaking of that, Southern California, where you live, so I was checking some stuff out, and I've become a fan. This is a couple days ago I did this. I was on your website, MarioRinaldi.com, okay? And these things, I might say it wrong, the Mario Log, whatever. How do you say it?
Oh, the Moral Log.
Moral
yeah,
Log. Bro, let me tell you
something.
I love this stuff. It's great.
Well, thank you, my man. You may be the only one because it's funny. I had a very good friend of mine named Harris Yusanovic when I lived in Toronto. He's a cameraman. He's a shooter, a documentary filmmaker.
Nice.
He came and stayed with me for a month, and I'm like, you know, we got to do something. Everyone's doing these videos.
Yeah,
and,
YouTube.
And viral things. Yeah. So I'm like, let's try some of these things. And honestly, all of the stuff you see is a shoot. The one that made me laugh the most is the trip to go see the Eagles, where I'm bragging about my car.
Your car broke down. I know. I saw the guy break it. He's like, all right, brother. See, you didn't freaking get an oil change, bro, on that Mini. I watched it. You need to get an oil change, bro. A Mini. That's a BMW car. How do you not?
You want to see? You just asked me, Taz, earlier how I'm so prepped and everything. Boss, Taz, honestly, I don't know how to do anything else other than prep and call fights.
Bro, I'm the same way. I got two. Listen, Paisan. I'm the same way. Bro, Ashmet, listen to me. I'm the same way. I got two words for you. Jiffy Lube. It's simple. Come on.
There will go hours in a day where finally I'll look up and I'll go, oh, man, the sun has already come down. I guess I should eat now. But like I say, you know, people say the 10,000 hours of Malcolm Gladwell. Everyone's got their own philosophy. But honestly, and all these up-and-coming broadcasters and people always ask me, how do you get to where you are? How do you do what you do? Honest, it's all about what you're doing, Taz, and all of us who have, you know, had a modicum of success. It's sacrificing. It's discipline. It's preparation. And it's being true to your cause, and you couldn't fake this stuff. You can't wake up in the morning and go to what you're doing and say, okay, I'll phone this in. It's got to be a love. It's a passion. And I'm just, again, blessed.
Well, and Mauro, you could tell just by hearing your voice. I think people out there, maybe some people that might not be familiar with you, they could tell your passion, and they could tell. And I got to say, I'm sure you're going to – I have to ask this question. I'm sure you get asked it a lot because, you know, and I think you might know where I'm going. I mean, I'm just – I'm sure there's had to been some sort of – I don't want to pry into your business publicly here, but some sort of intrigue at some point in your career, maybe still, from the WWE because – you are like a kind of like a, I mean this in a positive way, a cult like hero, not cult hero, that's a little bit of an overstatement, but you have a cult following, you know what I mean? Like people know you and your sound is so distinctive, which makes you unique, you know? So I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but I'm curious.
Faison.
Yeah.
I got two words for you.
Jiffy Lube.
No comment.
All right. I respect that, bro. I respect
that. Put it this way, Taz. Honest to goodness, it's so weird, buddy. When I know people can say, "Oh, the humble brag," or "Oh, he's just trying to, you know, be, you know, this whatever." I'm a small town kid from Mount Lehman, British Columbia, Canada, who had a dream of doing everything, my man. I wanted to do everything, and here I am. I called Fedor versus Mirko Krokop in Pride. I've called Floyd Mayweather fights. I've called, you know, the greatest kickboxing. I get to call New Japan, and yet you're right. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I wanted to work with you, Taz. I wanted to work with JR. I want to be in WWE or, you know, back in the day, ECW even. And if those opportunities come around, I'm definitely going to you know, definitely investigate it a lot. But at the same time, I want to continue to be able to grow as not only a broadcaster, but a human. I want to give back. I don't know if you know this, Taz, but I battled through mental health issues all my life, which probably doesn't surprise people. I call it, you know, my nickname is the bipolar rock and roller, but there is a truth to that. And I always want to tell people who are dealing with, whether it's depression, whether it's with all kinds of things that everyone goes through, but there are, you know, especially now, and again, not to get on the downer, but what we saw yesterday again and what's happening throughout the country with these mass shootings and everything else.
Yes,
there needs to be an overhaul of the mental health services in this country, especially. And I just want to say to anyone out there who's struggling or going over, you know, dealing with something, I've been there. I've been in psychiatric wards multiple times throughout my adult life. Taz, in fact, 2 weeks before I made my debut with Pride Fighting Championships, I was in the hospital.
Wow.
And so I just want to let people know that perseverance, you can lead a functional life, take your meds, eat well, exercise, and have a strong support network. And I know you have a loving family. I've been very blessed to be have an amazing family and friends, and also my coworkers. I've been blessed to work with the greatest, most talented people on the planet. And so I just want to say again to everybody that, you know, yes, I'm very successful. I'm very happy. But we all have a story to tell, and we all have to go through our own peaks and valleys.
I got to put you over big time, and I respect that. I do know that about you. I just didn't feel comfortable bringing it up, but you brought it up, and you know what,
absolutely.
Bro?
Absolutely, and you know what? I always try to bring it up, Taz, because that's it right there, what you just said, and I understand being uncomfortable, but the sooner we end the stigma, the sooner we realize that it's not a sign of weakness for a man.
Didn't want to be disrespectful.
Absolutely.
I didn't
want
to come off that way,
But absolutely. But I think, and I'm glad. More and more athletes, more and more celebrities, more and more people who are, you know, have a following on social media or whatever. The tide is turning, but I just want to, again, you know, throw my voice in the proverbial ring and then let people know that, you know, just because you see what we show you in terms of what we do for a living, we all have a cross to bear, and I just want to let people know that they're not alone, and I hope I can inspire just one person to keep up the good fight.
Well, listen, bro, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on, okay?
I would
love to have you come on again, you know, after like maybe a big MMA fight or a boxing contest, get your opinions, thoughts, and stuff. I know we're on different time zones, but I'm a fan of your work. I'm a fan of you personally. Look forward to meeting you one day, sitting down, having a meal, maybe having
absolutely. Absolutely. Un piatto di gnocchi.
Yeah.
Los gnocchi.
Sit down, have maybe a big bowl or like antipasto or something like that, or some, you know, penne alla vodka, something.
I can't wait. And honestly, I'm so proud of you, Taz, for what you've been able to do, especially now with this show. And again, a fan of your career going all the way back to, what was it? Was it Kid Crush?
God. Yeah, many years ago. Yeah. Yeah, that was a long time
ago. My best to Jim Ross, who honestly has meant so much to me as a broadcaster, but even more so as a friend. The guy, I really still think he should, you know, with all due respect to Michael Cole, who does a fantastic job, there is room. I wish JR was still calling the matches, and yet I understand how the business goes and how life works, but I'm hoping we all can all get together at one of these functions or something and just shoot the you-know-what for a few hours.
That would be awesome, actually. I think fans would love that too, brother. I really do. And look, we're going to have you on again, so it's not like goodbye or talking like 10 years.
No, not at all. And I will continue to spread the word and sing the praises of the Taz Show. So thank you so much, my man.
Thank you, brother. Keep knocking them dead. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
We will. Thank you, my friend.
Take care, Mauro. See you, man.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man, great. Just great having great having him on. Awesome guy. Awesome guy. His energy just bleeds right through the airwaves. It's a lot of fun talking. I'm going to have him on again. Got to take a quick break. Other side of break, going to have barbecue pigskin with my man, good old JR. Sit by. All right. We are back right here on the Taz Show, baby. Home stretch. Final segment right here. Started off a little rough technically, but we rock and roll. We persevered. We went through the storm of the streaming issues, and hopefully the storm doesn't hit us all too heavy on the eastern seaboard here, that hurricane that's coming, Hurricane Schneebitz Furman. All right. I think we have my man, good old JR, on the hook. JR, you there? Hold on. Let's get through the JR intro, bro, in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, welcome to Barbecue Pigskin with JR. Jim Ross and Taz talk college and pro football.
God is my witness, he has broken in half. Yes.
My man JR, you there, brother?
I'm here, Taz. How are you, buddy?
Good, baby. Listen, man, I just had Mauro on Rinaldi, bro. He's great. He just said to say hello to you, and he wanted to give you some love, and he has nothing but respect for you, as you know.
He's a good dude, man. Was he caffeinated this morning?
He was fired up, man. He's in Cincinnati. He's doing a fight. He's a doubleheader. He's going on and on. It's funny. It was hilarious. He's great.
He's getting a lot of bookings, and he works awful hard. He's one of those preparation freak guys. I have a lot of respect
for
him.
Yeah, I know a couple like that. I'm on the phone with one right now. hey, another thing I want to tell you, my son texts me. Listen to this, JR. He's in school, so why he's texting me, I have no idea. And it's too early to have lunch, so I don't know what that's about. But this is breaking news for us here in New York, JR. I think you might be impressed with this. Chick-fil-A was going to have their first New York City location.
Oh, my God.
That's big news here, brother. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. There'll be a line to the drive-thru that'll, you know, you'll you can court somebody and then marry them, divorce them, and then maybe, as Tony Soprano would say, reconcile while you're in the drive-thru. They'll be freaking crazy in New York about Chick-fil-A.
Oh, it's the best, dude. It's the best. Now, but let me ask you, down in Oklahoma, I mean, you guys have so many great barbecue places, so much great food. You know, down there in Texas, Oklahoma, that whole area of the country, I mean, and I know Chick-fil-A's do great. I was always crazy, like perplexed. Like, how does that happen with all the really good eating establishments that a fast food place would do so well?
Well, they have a good formula. You know, it's like anything else, any successful entity, they got a good system, and they have a real good product. People are eating more chicken. We're trying to be more health conscious. Any restaurant that's not nutritionally addressing their menu is probably lagging behind, and McDonald's even is. So I think the nutrition thing is pretty good. We're working on a diabetic-friendly barbecue sauce.
Ooh.
Because we want to stay ahead of the curve so that it's heart healthy and more and lower in fat and sugar. So
like a lower calorie sauce, right?
Correct. Yeah. So nice. Be healthier. But the key is trying to find the right flavor to keep it healthy, because a lot of the good stuff comes in the sugar and things like that that you gotta use. So it's an interesting deal. Chick-fil-A, and they're not. And by the way, they're not open, and never will be open on Sunday.
I know, that's the gimmick. And they got a little heat, right? Because I don't know the whole backstory. Let's not get too political, but they got a little heat with something with. Well, I don't know. Shouldn't have brought it up, but you know, they had a little heat with like some groups and stuff, right?
Yeah, they're. It's very unique how they. See, I can say this because I'm not. I'm a wild card here, so you didn't know what I was going to say. You know, I didn't know we're going to talk about Chick-fil-A.
I didn't either, bro.
when they go over the applicants to do a franchise, their questions have some things to do about religion.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
And so they that's their, they believe that's their prerogative.
That's their thing,
they want to have good, solid people running their franchises. And you rarely ever see a Chick-fil-A go out of business.
Yeah, no, I know. And so trying to find a segue from Chick-fil-A. Oh, the Chick-fil-A Bowl, right, into college football. So let's talk college football, John. There you go.
All right. So
look, you and I, we very rarely communicate before these segments, right? It's like a text or two, and it's like, yep. You usually blow me off. You don't reply for like hours. So I don't know where the heat is. I guess there's some heat.
Right.
I don't know, bro. I'm joking. No, so what do you got, man? What's going on? Ohio State, they're 4-0. They're still rolling. Michigan State, everybody's hyping Michigan State. Ole Miss kicking ass. I mean, there's a lot. Look, Oregon dropped. They just dropped. Utah, sexiest team in college football, right or wrong? What are your thoughts, thoughts and opinions on some of this?
Well, you know, I'm on two selection committees. I'm on the USA Today Sports Final Four selection committee, and I vote on that every week. We vote the final four teams. There's a committee of a bunch of ex-coaches, and I don't know why I'm on it, but I'm on it. And then I'm on the FoxSports.com team with Stuart Mandel, former Sports Illustrated, Bruce Feldman, Joel Klatt, one of their analysts, and myself. So I try to stay up on it because I gotta publicly make my picks. And so you don't want to suck high and teak too badly. So I think there's a good plays this week. Oklahoma plays at home against West Virginia. Both teams are undefeated. It's the first Big 12 game of the year. The spread started out at 8 or 9, +8, I think it was, for West Virginia.
I'm sure you'll be on the sideline, right? You'll be at that game, right?
I will be at the sideline. I'll be the rather stout-looking individual with a black hat on.
Stealing my sunglasses gimmick. I saw you on TV. I saw you.
They weren't orange, bro.
That's true. That's true. Good point.
are yours prescription?
No. No, they're not.
There you go. The difference. I'm much older than you. I'm a much older gentleman than you.
Much older than me, JR. Come on, stop. You're not that. I'm getting old.
Can you imagine the mood you're going to be in 30 years and you quit doing morning radio and you're rich and famous and and you'll be mad at everybody.
I'm not far from that now. You know me very well. I mean,
but an interesting bet would be to take West Virginia. The bookies booked the Vegas guys booked it down to 6 or 6.5. So everybody's betting on West Virginia for some reason. I got Oklahoma winning by 4. Hmm. But I think that's an interesting bet if somebody is of that not of a friendly office wager for a cup of coffee or something.
Yep, yep.
I think Indiana and the points at home. The thing about Indiana is they can score points, or they have been scoring a lot of points. Their head coach is a good friend of mine, and he's a great offensive mind. They play at home against the number one team, Ohio State. They got nothing to lose, everything to gain. The key is that Indiana's defense is not very good. So I think it'll be a high-scoring game. So one might consider taking the over or taking Indiana and the points. I don't think Indiana can beat Ohio State.
Right. Right.
I think they can play maybe within the 21.5. Or anytime you get those hooks, man, those 21.5, 14.5, that's an intriguing sort of a bet. A half is a little bit different deal. So. And I think the other bet that's interesting is that the last I looked, and again, it may be changed because it just fluctuates, is Notre Dame at Clemson. College game day is there.
That's big, yeah.
Big deal for Clemson.
Yep.
Clemson beat our ass they took us to the woodshed big time in some bowl game I already forgot last year that obviously our team didn't want to go play because they didn't play at all. But it's a big deal for Notre Dame to play anybody because they're such a national brand.
Yeah.
And I think Clemson pulls the upset at home. They're playing at home. They're the home underdog with game day on the campus playing the Fighting Irish. So I want to go with Clemson on that one. And I think that I don't think any of the New Jersey teams in the NFL this year, because there's only one New York team in the National Football League. That's in Buffalo.
That's my team, baby. The Bills. That's my guys. Yeah.
Because the other two teams play in Jersey.
Yeah, they're Jersey guys, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with Jersey.
Well, if you're from New York, there is.
A lot of exits.
It's a plethora of exits, yeah.
There's a plethora of exits, and Roy Rogers. How they're still in business, I don't get.
I don't know either.
Story.
Yeah,
that's they got these wonderful heat lamps that keep all their nice burgers under, but I like the Jets to lose. I think the Giants will lose to the Bills. The Jets lose to the Dolphins.
Well, can we just back up to college football? Because, bro, you got me a little hot. So, I wanted to talk a little bit about Utah. You know,
they're good.
I know they're good. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I'm saying like a team like Utah comes out of nowhere, and I also want to get your opinion. Your opinion on Oregon? Like, Oregon always had the hype with the Nike crazy uniforms. They got 5,000 different uniforms. Phil Knight's the offensive coordinator, or whatever the hell's going on over there, right? They had all this craziness over there, right? Everybody hypes Oregon. Nah, nah, nah. What happened? These guys, they pooped the bed here. It's like almost done now for these guys.
It's called Marcus Mariota withdrawal. They couldn't sign the great quarterbacks because everybody knew that Mariota was going to start.
Right.
He started there. He took virtually every snap for 3 years.
So recruiting, they couldn't get another kid.
The great high school quarterbacks want to play now.
Yep. Damn right.
And they weren't going to play now with Marcus Mariota there. So the lack of having a playmaker. Like Mariota is, a kick in the snabbits.
Snabbits firm, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's the key is that they lost a little bit of their mojo as far as their offense is concerned, and people started figuring them out a little bit. They're not as complicated or as refined offensively as when Chip Kelly was there.
Yeah, Chip did a great job there. Chip, and you got to be happy about the job your former Sooner quarterback is doing there with the Eagles, I'm sure, right? He's doing pretty good.
Yeah, Sam can stay healthy. He's one of those fantasy steals, I think, in fantasy football. He's a great guy, and I'm very biased because I've known him for so long, and he's a – like me, he's a Native American, so we minorities stick together,
Yeah, but let me ask you something about him, though, bro. Like, I remember when he got sent over there to the Eagles, that whole thing happened. I remember you and I had an offline conversation. You didn't know what was going to go on there. Maybe Chip Kelly. This was before the draft. Remember this? I don't know if you remember the conversation. You had different thoughts, right? You didn't really know what the deal was going to be with Stanford, with the Eagles and him, right?
Right.
So
yeah, I, Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say maybe he was I know I said to you, maybe we went back and forth, man, maybe he could be trade bait possibly to get Mariota.
Right.
Right, but that didn't happen, obviously.
No, nobody was going to give up a guy with two rebuilt ACLs on the last year's contract for arguably one of the top two players in the entire draft, and that was a Mariota quarterback. So I didn't think Sam would have enough cachet, and you got to put parts with him. And they'd already traded off their running back to the Bills, to you guys, right?
Yep, yep, yep.
So they didn't have enough pieces to make the thing sweet enough.
And he's banged up anyway. He's not McCoy. Shady.
Gil Brandt is a pretty good football guy. Gil Brandt, the old-timer.
Yeah.
He said that Sam Bradford's pro day was – as a quarterback, was the best day of a pro court, the best day for a quarterback in a pro day since Peyton Manning's pro day. So
wow.
Those two are like the top of the food chain as far as being on the money on a pro day when they're throwing every route that there is. And Sam was the thing about Bradford, he's a hell of an athlete. He's a scratch golfer. I'm not sure what that means. I think it's good. And he's also he was on the traveling Oklahoma City hockey team.
Really?
So he was, he's a hockey player. He's a 6'4", he's also a 6'4", shortstop. And he averaged a double-double in basketball. So the SOV can play sports.
Beast athlete,
He got behind a crappy offensive line that you and I probably could have at least made the 52-man roster in St. Louis. He got beat up.
Yeah, he's got such poise in the pocket. You can see the way he controls the offense. His poise. He seems like the guy. Like he never gets rattled. Is he now? You know him personally. Is he more of like a type B personality? That's kind of what he seems.
Yeah, he's not the loudest guy in the room, or he doesn't crave attention.
I hate guys like that.
But I know that I was on the sideline for every game that he ever played in college. And as the years went on, he became much more vocal. And so he'll drop an F-bomb on you every now and then. He started getting a little bit more vocal.
Got a little crazy.
But he kind of felt like he needed to earn it. And he won the Heisman his junior year, then came out.
Yeah.
He was the first pick of the last NFL draft when the big money was still available.
I didn't know that.
So I think he got 50 mil guaranteed.
Wow.
So he's okay.
No wonder why you're friends with him.
Exactly. I want to gravitate to the money. He might buy a Chick-fil-A franchise someday.
You just took the words out of my mouth. So you think he'll do pretty good against the Skins, right? They're playing them this. I think they're playing Sunday, right? The Skins, yeah. Oh no, Monday. When was that? Monday? Oh, Sunday.
I think Philly wins. I think they're starting to find themselves a little bit, and I don't know that they're doing everything that Chip Kelly would ideally like to do, but I don't know that he's got the players that he ideally needs to do that, And they need to get DeMarco Murray, another Oklahoma Sooner, healthy, and get him running downhill, not running east and west.
Right.
And so I think that. But the nastiest Sooner of all in NFL will be in that game. On the other side, number 71, Trent Williams, the left tackle for the Redskins. He's their best player. And it's good to have a left tackle that's good.
Of course.
But when your left tackle is your best player, you have to reevaluate Daniel Snyder, you little punk.
I love it. All right, look, I got to ask you a question here because, you know, before we let you get out of here, but so let's real quick, want to get your thoughts and opinions about stuff going on tomorrow night at the Garden, WWE stuff, obviously. I just think fans would love to hear your quick point of view on Big Show. You got Lesnar's show, Big Show and all the stuff, and the hype they put behind this match. It's been really cool. I thought they did a good job of it. Just want to get a quick overview from you on what they're doing tomorrow night at the Garden.
I think it'll be sold out. I think they're going to televise on the WWE Network, which is pretty cool. I saw somebody say online that the last time that a house show from the Garden was televised was 1997.
Wow.
And the broadcasters were myself and Jim Cornette.
Oh,
and I said, well, that would never happen now, because I'm sure even back then the almighty executives at 120 Hamilton were probably going crazy because they had these two guys that sound like they were rejects from Hee Haw at ringside of the Garden, these two Southerners, doing the commentary. And, of course, that wouldn't go down for a refined product like pro wrestling. You can't have that, for God's sakes, because we might actually call holds. And you don't want to do that for, you know, that's unacceptable.
Well, so you're shooting a little, huh? All right.
Well, you know, it's just, is anything I said untrue?
No, no, it's true. And for those that know, 120 Hamilton is the WWE studio. So, yeah, I hear you. Look, obviously, we can.
I'm glad they're doing the show.
Yeah.
I think it would be great for the fans. I'm sure I'm going to watch some of it, depending on what's on TV at that time. I may not watch it live, but I'll watch it somewhere along the way because it's cool to watch events out of the garden. I know from being a hillbilly kid from eastern Oklahoma to be able to work in the garden for me was a big thrill. And even all those years, we go on the road all the time, still going to the garden was a cool deal.
Yeah.
It was always cool to go to the garden.
That's interesting to hear because me growing up here, obviously, I mean, I'm doing a show right now where I work. It's like 3 blocks from the garden. But so I grew up here. I debuted there, as you know. But for hearing it from someone from the industry like yourself and so many guys from the business that aren't from New York or the New York City area still want to work in the garden. And that's nice to hear for the legacy of the building.
It's got a mystique and a cachet that you can't replicate in any other building in the world. It's the garden. It's a great world's greatest arena, and without it sounds hype, it sounds cliche, but it really is. It's when you walk backstage, as we have many, many times, you see all those pictures on the wall of people that have played there.
Yep.
My God, it's Sinatra, Elvis, Michael Jackson, the Beatles, everybody's played there. And so they used to play basketball there. I don't know, do they still play basketball in the garden?
Well, to me, the only basketball that's played is in Brooklyn. So that's at Barclays. So I'm a Nets guy. I'm not really a Knicks guy, but I hear you. So let me ask you this. So if you had the opportunity, I got to ask you this. Who was your favorite color commentator? If you had the opportunity to do this again, to work with. I don't want to hear, don't say Jerry Lawler. Don't say the King. Don't say Heyman. Do not say Heyman, whatever you do. You can't say Cornette. You can't say Stryker. Who was your favorite color commentator to work with?
Oh, you, Tad. For God's sake, I don't want to lose my booking here on the show. I'm trying to sell some barbecue sauce at www.shop.com. I'm trying to get people to follow me on Twitter at JRBBQ.
You're the man.
And I'm a media whore. So
you're killing me.
Yeah, I want. Hey, we had good chemistry because we sounded different.
Yes.
We sounded different. And I'll put our call in that one Royal Rumble that we did against anybody else's Royal Rumble call because I thought we did really well because the story changed every minute or two.
Yes.
So you had to keep up. And
I leaned on you, man. I was a nerve-wracking deal, and that was because of you. You got me through that bad boy. You were the quarterback for sure. You always were the quarterback. But that was the one where Vince blew his quads out, right?
Was that where it was?
It was San Jose or somewhere in California, I think.
Oh, yeah, it was San Jose. Yeah. He blew one out, then the other one went. It was horrible.
He sat in the ring and looked at Batista. I remember. He was just sitting there.
He was still directing traffic. He was still managing. He was
cutting
still
promos.
Oh, yeah. He was still the boss.
It was great. Well, not great that he got hurt. I don't mean it like that. But it was just to see him do his thing. I mean, yeah, but I remember that call, that Royal Rumble. That was all you, man. I mean,
we had fun. We had a good time, and we made it fun for each other. At least you and I had fun, and I think the contrast in how you sounded with your accent and mine was good. You didn't have to worry about who was talking.
Yes.
And we both had the same basic philosophy.
Yeah, and I got to start using the word cachet in my vocabulary more because I like the way it sounds when you say it. So I'm just letting you know that. So, all right, for some reason I can't hear JR anymore. I don't know what happened here. Is he there?
Yeah, no, he's gone.
He's gone. All right, we lost JR. I don't know what happened here. All right, no big deal. I was going to wrap it up with JR because we're getting ready to wrap the show up. So I don't know. We lost JR for some reason. Apologize for that. JR, thank you for being on. I do not know what happened. That never happened before.
No, I haven't seen the call drop. I mean, he wasn't calling from his cell phone, I don't think so.
No, I don't know. I mean, maybe Brian can get him back on the hook. Just so I could at least respectfully say thank you and get him on next week again, or I could just text him if we can't. It's not a problem. We're getting ready to wrap up anyway. So I do appreciate you, JR, coming on. Thank you. Sorry we lost JR. You know what? I was going to go over the rest of the Madison Square Garden WWE card anyway. So before we talked to Mauro, I kind of interrupted that with that. So I want to just finish that real quick. I talked about the Intercontinental Title Championship, as I should say, that I feel like if they went a direction with Owens and Cesaro in a series deal, that would be cool, but they're not. So my prediction on the match tomorrow for the WWE Intercontinental Championship is Kevin Owens, I think, will retain and defeat Chris Jericho. I'm interested to see what happens with Jericho and his friends, if they put that on a network or if that's just something they do offline that we don't see and it's just for what they call the house.
We have JR back.
Oh, we do? Let's get him back on real quick. JR, sorry, man. I don't know what happened there, bro.
I don't either. I think it was that Chick-fil-A deal.
Don't get hot. All right, no. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up anyway because I'm off the air in a few seconds. So I wanted to thank you.
What's up? You're welcome. Hey, I'll tell you this. I'll take Brock Lesnar decisively beating the Big Show in less than 15.
Yeah, I didn't give a time. I think he's definitely going to win for sure. I'm going to ask you real quick. What do you think? I think the Dudleys are going to become new champs, or do you think that they do a thing with the Dudleys with the titles down the road in a table match? Like a fan said that to me. But I think the Dudleys are going to beat the New Day. What do you think?
Wouldn't surprise me a bit because I think the New Day are struggling to be heels because they're so entertaining. I think the Dudleys can do either thing. I could see down the road, here's a booking idea, fantasy booking. Undertaker and Kane reunite, the Brothers of Destruction. It makes it easy on both guys against the heel Dudleys.
Oof.
2016.
I like that. That's actually badass.
Part-time gig. Hey, I used to have a pencil. Had an
I remember. I saw it. I remember. I had an idea, too, man. I've been talking about a lot here, but I guess WWE's not going to do it. For the Intercontinental Championship, I think if they have Kevin Owens as the champ, get in an angle, like a series, a best-of-five series or best of three out of five or whatever with Cesaro. I think both these kids need it. They're both talented enough on the stick and in the ring. I also think the championship, the IC title, would be made by both these guys. You could put the title on either of these guys. Do you agree with that? You like the idea or what?
It comes back to being that IC title, being the workhorse champion. I like it. After Cesaro, could be Samoa Joe with the best of five with Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a lot of good stuff. Finn Balor's good.
He's real good.
He gets you young again, and he gets you the IC champion becomes the workhorse champion like it was for years.
I agree, JR. And look, man, I appreciate you coming on, brother. Next week, you're coming back at him. Some more barbecue pigskin. You gave us some football tips and advice. You're the man. You're the best. You know that.
Well, again, watch West Virginia in the points, Clemson at home, not bad, and Indiana in the points at home against Ohio State.
All right, brother. I appreciate it, JR. Thanks so much, man.
Have a great week, Pat.
See you, bud. Bye-bye. So listen, man, when JR gives you some information on point spreads and football, that's why, you know, once I get JR and Mike today in a room together, you're going to get some football knowledge and betting advice. Let me finish doing this real quick before we wrap this up. What do you got? Sheamus and Orton. I think Sheamus wins the match. Rusev, Dolph Ziggler. I think Rusev wins here. I think it's going to be an excellent card. Also, before I wrap up, I want to tell you, if you want to come say hi, I will be in New Jersey tomorrow, as long as the hurricane's not too heavy, because if it's that bad, I'm not going. But I'll be at Legends of the Ring in Monroe, New Jersey. It's a huge event. There's a ton of people there, wrestlers and male and female superstars galore. So it should be a great event. They do a great job there, the folks at Legends of the Ring. I don't normally do appearances, as you guys know. Very rare. I did one for Pro Wrestling Syndicate last month. I'm doing this one now. I'm doing one more next month, and then you won't see me doing these things for, like, a long time. So no disrespect to no one, just not my bag. But I like the Legends of the Ring people. As long as the rain's not coming down too bad and it's not too dangerous and it's not flooding, yours truly, the main man of the Taz Show, will be there. Otherwise, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your football. Enjoy the WWE Network tomorrow. Brian, I appreciate you doing your thing here with the board.
Anytime.
Brian on the call screening. The other Brian, I'm surrounded by Brian's. Thank you. Everybody out there, enjoy the weekend. See you Monday.